Welcome to the Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, the Director of Worship Arts here at the church, and as always, it's great to be with you. We hope you enjoy this week's episode of our weekly sermon podcast and ask that you would do us a favor and please share this with your friends and family on Facebook or Twitter. You can find us at www.fumcbentonville.org or by searching FUMC Gathering Podcast on iTunes.
I remember the Republican Party wanted to use Born in the USA as an anthem, and Bruce shot them down. He said, "Have you listened to the lyrics?" And as I was thinking about this song, this sermon, for the first time, I really paid attention to the lyrics. See, that was a party song in 1984. That was a song of, and you look at the video, watch the video this week, that was a rollicking, hip-slapping, boot-stomping song. I had a 1966 Mustang, and I cranked the windows down and cranked the music way up, listening to Born in the USA and Glory Days. But now I listen to those lyrics, and I realize that Mr. Springsteen is a prophet. He speaks a truth that lies below the surface of America, a truth that all of us recognize, a truth that says, I wonder if my best days are behind me. I wonder, can there be anything in the future for me? And Jesus came to cut us away from all of that. Jesus came to say, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is right here. We all have unlimited potential and possibility because of the gift that Christ gives us. Jesus sent out his disciples with these words, go to the lost sheep and tell them the good news, the kingdom of God is at hand. Luke says it even more explicitly. In Luke's gospel, he says, go and tell people the kingdom of God is within you. Powerful words. We don't have to go far to find God. If we truly accept the gift that Jesus offers us, we have unlimited potential and possibility. But we have to cut ourselves free or let Jesus take that sword and cut us free from what holds us back. Thursday morning, I was sitting with my mom. She had come down for annual conference to be with me, and she was getting ready to fly out Thursday morning, and we were having coffee on the back porch as the sun was coming up. And Thursday morning, I had no idea what I was going to say this morning. And I said that to my mom. I was just sitting there staring off into space as we're having coffee. She says, what are you thinking about? And I said, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to say on Sunday. And she said, well, what's the scripture? And I read the scripture to her, and she says, there's got to be something that you're thinking about. And I said, yeah, the sword of Jesus. Every single one of the people in my congregation is going to be saying, yeah, well, what does he mean by if you don't hate your mom and love me? And what do I do with that? And my mom said, Eric, we all have so much baggage. We all hold so tightly onto things that are like anchors. She said, we all are floating down a river. Some of us have our hand on the rudder, and we're fighting the rapids, and we're trying to steer around the rocks and the whirlpools, but far too many people just let go of the rudder, and they say, take me where you will, river. And they get caught and snagged on something, and they stand and scream at it as if the anger will get them free. Or they get caught in a whirlpool, and they scream in frustration, and they spend all their energy being angry instead of trying to get free. Wow, Mom, where'd that come from? Well, she's a professor of English literature, so I should have expected that was there, but I just didn't expect that on Thursday morning. And then she continued and said, Eric, you and I are blessed genetically with a predisposition for intense anger. It's like, no kidding, Mom. Ask my kids. And she said, well, it comes from grandma and probably her mom. But as I was growing up, my mom was this 85-pound, intensely, tightly wound ball of anger. Always was. My mom, everywhere she'd go, was this tight wound ball of anxiety and anger. And you could feel it coming off of her. She didn't have to say a word. You could just feel the anger pouring off of her. And it was contagious. And I told myself that I was not going to be my mom. I told myself somehow I was going to be free of that anger. And I've been working all my life at it, and I still haven't figured it out. So this cop pulled me over. It just wasn't fair. Now, my mom is a terrified driver. Put my mom behind the wheel of a car in a strange city, and she's terrified. And so when she goes to visit her friend, she draws out these explicit maps, and she drives with the map on top of the steering wheel. It's not even worth going there when I try to convince her to get a smartphone. I mean, it just, the map. So she's sitting at a stop sign, tells me, I was sitting at the stop sign, looking at my map, trying to figure out, I knew I was close. I just didn't want to make a wrong turn, and I'm pretty sure I had it, so I started down the road, and all of a sudden, there was a police car behind me with his lights on. I thought, I wonder who he's after. So I kept driving, and then he turned his siren on, and I pulled over, and he came up to me, and I was angry because I was doing nothing wrong. I was doing 20 miles an hour, and he said, ma'am, do you know why I pulled you over? And she said, you have no right to pull me over. I was doing nothing wrong. He said, ma'am, you're a distracted driver. You're staring at that map and you're not watching the road, and school just got out and there's little kids all over this neighborhood. And if you kill one of them for the rest of your life, you're going to have to live with that. And I said, well, did you get a ticket? And she said, no. Gave me a warning. But he's young and pompous and so full of himself. I said, yeah, Mom, but you were wrong. He said, I know, Eric, that's what I'm telling you. I was wrong and I still have this anger. I said, well, when did that happen? 3 years ago. She said, Eric, we hold on to things. We hold on to things, and we just can't let them go. And Jesus came with a sword to cut us all away from that. So as my mom was telling me this story, I was thinking of an ancient parable. I don't know how ancient, at least 2,000-3,000 years old. But two monks, two ancient wise men, we'll call them Francis and Joseph. Francis and Joseph were on a pilgrimage, and they were coming to a river, a beautiful young woman standing at the river just sobbing. She had a basket next to her, and they realized with all the debris in the river, along the river and the trees, that flood had come by, and they asked the woman what was wrong, and they said, the flood, it took away the bridge. I had received word that my mom was dying. She was close to death, and I was doing everything I could to get to see her before she died, and now there's no way across the river. And Francis said, no problem. It looks rough, but I think we can get you across. I'll carry you. Hop out my shoulders, and I'll carry you across. Joseph, his jaw dropped. He didn't know what to say. He started to stutter something, but Francis had already picked up the girl, and she and Francis were in the river. So Joseph picked up the basket that she had been carrying, gets across, and a woman gets down off of Francis's shoulders, and she gives him a great big hug and a kiss, and now she's crying tears of joy. Picks up her basket and goes. And for 2 hours, there was silence. And then another 2 hours as they walked, Joseph was muttering underneath his breath. And finally, he just couldn't take it anymore. He said, Francis, don't you even feel bad? Francis stopped and looked at him and said, what are you talking about? You know what I'm talking about. And Francis, I have no idea, Joseph, why you're so angry. What are you angry about? You know we are supposed to take vows of celibacy so strong we don't even look at women. And that woman was all over you. Francis looked at him and said, wow, I said, Joseph, I set her down 4 hours ago. You're still carrying her. How many of us go through life still carrying things that we should be setting down? Jesus came to cut us away from all of that. Jesus offers us a path, yes, that's terribly difficult. He offers us a path that will set us apart from other people. We have some pastors here. You tell your friends that you're going to seminary, and pretty soon you're not invited to the same parties anymore, right? It's true. Second career pastor changes everything, right? People look at you differently. When we are in our workplace, we are all ministers, and people should see Christ by the way we live. The final words Jesus offers in this section of Scripture is, whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it. Those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Those who hold on to everything they think will bring them joy, the glory days, end up with Bruce Springsteen down at the well. Those who set that all aside and put Christ in everything they think do and say will realize that everything Jesus said was true. The kingdom of God is here. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 o'clock each Sunday morning. Grace and peace, y'all.